Good morning, everyone. I'm Elder Bob DeMeester, and I'm pleased to be able to substitute in for Chris this morning. The sermon I'm about to present is not my own writing. Let me switch this on, Roger. No, it's on. There we go. Okay. Back in 1992, I attended a Moody conference over in Chicago and heard Pastor E.V. Hill present this sermon. If you don't know E.V. Hill, he's dead now, but he was a very well-known pastor in the 20th century, a big black man, and I certainly won't be able to mimic his delivery. But for 42 years, he was pastor of the Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles, a very well-known church. And this sermon was one that really struck me, and I was able to reconstruct that and want to present it to you this morning. Let's turn to Psalm 19 and read verses 1 to 6. Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heaven he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. And so ends the reading. To set the stage for our subject this morning is, when was God at his best? When was God at his best? Well, certainly we need to start with Genesis 1:1, which says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God must have been at his best when he created the heavens. I mean, when we think of the heavens, my goodness, you know, the vastness of the heavens just boggles my mind. When you think of looking out at the stars, and first of all, how many stars are there? We can't count them. We can't count them. And so then we look at stars, and some of the stars we're looking at are light years away, right? So how much is a light year? Well, it's how long light can travel in a year, right? A light year is how far light can travel in a year. Well, as you know, light travels pretty darn fast. In fact, I, as an engineer, I had to look it up again to remind myself. 670 million miles an hour. 670 million miles an hour, okay? So hold that number. So quick math, as I do it here in my head. No, I wrote it down. That's 6 trillion miles in a year. 6 trillion miles. Trillion, that's 10 with, that's 6 with 12 zeros behind it. That's in 1 year. And stars are light years away, plural. So just the vastness of space has to make us marvel in the majesty of God and how he created that with the planets and the stars. And you know, if you could travel to one of the stars at the farthest away that we can see, if you could travel there, you know what's next? More. Where does it end? As humans, we can't even comprehend the vastness of space. Incomprehensible. So God must have been at his best when he created the heavens. But it goes on to say he created the earth. And here's the earth, and the seasons of the year, and the sun, and the moon, and the exact preciseness of a day, the preciseness of a year as it repeats itself year after year after year, held in perfect balance. And then the seasons, I mean, we've just been through fall. It's kind of like late summer, but some fall here. And look, at the leaves know when to fall off the trees. And the earth knows how to react to fall. I mean, even you go down south, and even though it's warm there, things are changing for the winter months. And most of you have traveled around the country, and you know the beauty of the earth. We just got back from Florida a month ago. We are on the Atlantic coast, looking out over the ocean. You know, you can't see the other side. The vastness of the oceans, it's just hard to understand. The uniqueness of nature, you know, just the detail of insects and creatures and flowers. When you look at flowers, I think of the lily, the orchid, the bird of paradise, some flowers that are just so finite detail in his creation. And places in the country where you've traveled, additional places, for example, the Rockies, the height of the mountains in the Rockies, the giant redwoods in California, the glaciers in Alaska, the Alps, worldwide places that are just awesome. And just look right around here. You know, the Mississippi River Valley with the beauty of the bluffs. I really especially like fall when the leaves are all changing on the bluffs, and from the river you look up and the color is mirrored in the water. So you have to say, God was at his best when he made the earth, and maybe he was particularly sharp when he did the Dubuque Land area. I'm moving here. But no, let's look a little further. Let me read Genesis 1:27. Genesis 1:27 is another familiar passage. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. So we need to look at the wonder of God in the creation of man and woman. Nothing's so unique as a human being. The intricacies of our body, the makeup of the tissue and the organs, and the systems, the nervous system and so forth. And then our mind and our soul. Such a creation of God. And a person is uniquely identified, you know, within the first cell divisions at conception. The DNA is specified already then as to who that person is going to be. Just a unique, amazing miracle. We are made in God's image to honor him. And he continues to do great things for us as we praise him for it. I woke up this morning, holy Lord. I was able to dress myself. Praise you, Lord. He protected me as I drove here this morning. Holy. He brought us here. He brought me here to worship in this wonderful place. Praise you, Lord. And we look at how God has made man with the ability to be creative and to learn and to love, to show compassion, but also the ability to create things. I mean, just look around at our world today with the tall skyscrapers, jet airplanes that can whisk us places in hours, rockets to bring people to the moon and investigate far planets, which are not that far, as we thought about the light years before, remember? But still, for us to investigate, and computers, you know, the intelligence of computers, on and on. So with the creation of men and women, don't you think God was at his best? Well, I think not. Let's look at another passage. Let's turn to Exodus and look at Exodus 12. Exodus 12, 31 and 32. Exodus 12, 31 and 32. This is about the deliverance of the people of Israel. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people, and you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go, and also bless me." So if you remember the story, God predestined Moses to be the deliverer. And as a tiny baby, he was placed in a basket to float down the Nile River, where God destined Pharaoh's daughter to be there and retrieve the baby and raise Moses in Pharaoh's house. As an adult, God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, and he destined Moses to be the deliverer for Israel. And then through that, you recall, he provided a series of plagues that helped soften Pharaoh's heart. He turned the water into blood. He sent locusts that devoured everything. Frogs, gnats, flies, even sores, boils on the people. And then, of course, you know the final plague, where he sent the angel of death to slay the firstborn male in every household. Changed Pharaoh's mind, and he let them go. And then as they traveled through the wilderness on to the promised land, God fed them with manna. They came to the Red Sea, and he parted the Red Sea so that they could safely get across and continue their journey, ultimately leading them to the promised land. These were certainly mighty acts, but I don't think it was God at his best. We need to look at John 3:16. And we all know that verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." So now think about that. God giving up his only son. Pam and I have an only son. Many of you have sons. Can you even fathom the idea of giving them up? Giving one of them up. Not to mention he gave Jesus up to suffer. And yet God did that. He gave his son up to suffer. God must have been at his best when he looked at fallen man and gave his son to die on the cross. But no, we need to look a little further. Look at God, what God did with Jesus while Christ walked on the earth. He was humbly born in the stable, as we're celebrating, to a virgin woman. The angel said, "Glory to God in the highest," and welcomed him. They knew. Jesus performed miracles throughout his stay on the earth. Of course, the feeding of the 5,000, made the blind to see, lame to walk. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Just showed many, many miracles. And of course, he spread the good news to all around. Jesus' earthly life must have been God at his best. Well, let's look even further. I think we need to press for more. We need to look at the cross. It was on that day that Jesus bore our sin, the sin of all, even the sin of the unborn. Bearing the load of sin, Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It was at that moment your sins and my sins were paid in full. When Jesus dropped his head and died, our sins were paid. Was that God at his best? Well, I think we got to look not just on Friday, but to Sunday morning. Because the people, the women came to the tomb, and what did they find? The empty tomb. Jesus was resurrected. The resurrection morning, we saw God at his best. But we need to look one more step. God was at his best one Sunday morning in New Jersey when he came down and touched a teen's heart. And he forgave those sins. And that young teen was moved to open his heart to Jesus. God came into this young teen's life and saved another sinner. That's when I think God was at his best. So when was it for you? When was God at his best? Where were you? Where were you when God was at his best? Who can tell me? Where were you? Are we working? Where were you when God was at his best?
When he came into my life, when I didn't know him.
And do you remember where you were?
I was just a young person. Went to the lake with a group of youth, and we put our sins and put them on the lake, and I thought, oh, this is wonderful. He's coming into my life.
Don, you want to share?
When I went to a youth camp, little Baptist church camp in Iowa Falls, and we stood and lit a candle that was going to give our life to Jesus, you know. That was several years ago.
He said several years ago. Over here, you want to share?
Even though I grew up with a mother who was the Christian Ed director, so I had great credentials. It happened for me at, I was about 20 years old, sitting around a campfire as a counselor, and some of you may know Pastor Bill McConkie from St. Louis very much challenged me to go beyond just adhering to really heartfelt belief.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else like to share? Who else? Oh, I got one back here. Jerry.
I remember very vaguely, or I shouldn't say vaguely, but I was right up where the gal with the green shirt is sitting, and the Johnsons were our pastors at that time, and I had been a member of this church for several years, and from the old church up, I had not been raised in a Christian church, but had such a desire all the way along, but when Christ really came into my heart, and I knew then that this was it, that I was his. And there was no question about it, and there's never been a question since. And I just praise God for that.
God at his best. Anybody else care to share? You don't have to be bashful. Should I come over here? Oh, thank you, Judy.
God was at his best in my life when I came to know the Lord. Attending a church where the rest of my family did not participate, were not believers. And not only did he come and was real to me, but he also blessed me with a foster Christian grandma who discipled me as much as she could on the way to church every Sunday on a bus ride.
God at his best. Thank you, Judy. Oh, we got another one. Stephen.
2001, when I went to a Christian retreat, is when I finally accepted God in my life.
Where was that?
Actually, that was at the Shalom Center, I believe.
At the Shalom Center, God at his best. Anybody else? So, God is at his best when he's changing the lives of sinners. Amen. Let's pray. It took a miracle to put the stars in place, Lord. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved our souls, cleansed and made us whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Amen.